Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. Woo! What a game. Game of the year. The Lions in primetime. Last regular NFL season game of 2022-2023. The Lions beat the Packers in Lambeau. Knocked them out of the playoffs. Moved to 9-8. And things are trending up in Detroit. We're going to be talking about this game, reacting to everything. The hook and ladder play, or whatever you want to call it. The Amon-Ra St. Brown catch, Aiden Hutchinson, Dan Campbell, Ben Johnson, everything. We're going to get into all of it. What a day of football. What a Sunday night. We also record this live on YouTube, but Spotify, Apple, where you get your podcast. Please access it. Please download it there. Leave a review as well. We'll also be back later this week with our regular season grades. Unfortunately, Lions not going to the playoffs, despite probably being one of the best teams in the NFC, but they turned on just a little too late, unfortunately. And NFL, you can't afford it. You can't afford that. But anyways, the whole crew is here. We're reacting to game. So sit back, relax, grab your biggest glass of Kool-Aid because Lions beat the Packers. It's time for the pod.
Here's a blitz. Can Rodgers beat it? Big ball downfield, and it is intercepted by Kirby Joseph. Joseph out of bounds around the 45. He's got Rodgers for the third time, and the Packers are in major trouble.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, and what a game. The Lions with a 20-16 victory over the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau to knock them out of the playoffs. What a beautiful thing. Unfortunately, we do not go to the playoffs because the Rams, they are a bad team for a reason, and they could not beat Seattle despite many, many opportunities to do so. But regardless, the Lions still win the big game they've been waiting for all year. Prime time in Lambeau, a place that we've historically not been able to win at consistently. But the Lions moved to 5-1 in the NFC North, 9-8 overall after starting 1-6. What a great game. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew that's here. Then we'll get more into the game. So we got Connor.
Yo.
UJ. Whoa. Thank you, UJ. Connor. I'm going to introduce you again. Connor.
Woo!
There you go. And then, how about that? And then UJ just went, and then Bob.
Yeah, woo!
All right. So
that's very burly.
I don't have anyway,
man. I don't know where to start with this one. There's a lot of good. I guess with this at the biggest stage at this late in the season, the Lions still did not play anywhere near a perfect game, and yet still managed to pull out the victory. I mean, where this team was, especially last year, to where they are now. I mean, the youngest defense in the NFL, breaking a lot of records in this last game. Jamal Williams, 2 touchdown runs to break Barry Sanders' single season record, albeit in a 17 game season.
True.
And then Hutch with adding a couple more sacks.
Kirby Hutch
Joseph
under
picking
the lights,
up Aaron Rodgers for a third time.
Yeah, Hutch was great. Yes, Hutch kicked ass.
I mean, Is Hutch the face of this defense going forward? Would we all agree with that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, him. Maybe Houston.
I want to give a shout out to Isaiah Buggs too. That guy's just really grown throughout the season, and he had a terrific game tonight.
He played so good.
Awesome. I don't know if he's like a permanent fixture there, or at least a rotational piece though, going forward in the future.
Yeah,
because
credit Brad Holmes some of those pieces, man.
Brad Holmes, if he nails the next draft like this one, this team is contending now.
Yes,
we are contending. I mean,
yeah.
If you look, but you know, but for a thing here or there this season, we would be in the playoffs right now. But I'm not 100% disappointed. I'm just so happy about the way this season ended. And on a great typical Dan Campbell note, going forward on fourth down, instead of doing the safe thing and kicking the field goal to give you a 7-point lead and the Packers would have to score a touchdown, no, we're not going to leave it in the Packers' hands. We're going to leave it in our hands. Get that first down, end the game. Awesome.
Well, yes.
Way to go, Campbell.
And this is part of the learning process, right? Because, I mean, it goes back to that Vikings game in Minnesota where he didn't go for it on fourth down. He's regretted it ever since.
Right.
He's become a much better coach since that moment. Unfortunately, that growing pain cost us a game that probably would have got us in the playoffs and 6-0 in the NFC North. But
sadly, one thing we haven't done is get a kicker that we have to prioritize, I think, in the offseason.
Yeah. Yes. I really want us to look at Jake Moody. That's
Moody in the
him.
Distance. He's really good. How far can he kick it?
He made a 59 yarder in the CFP.
He did. You're right.
Okay. So the leg is there, and he's been money for them all year. But we could talk about that on a draft pod.
Yeah.
You don't want the money. You don't want the money badger around anymore.
No,
he's a nice guy, but he can't kick over the.
He's been solid for us. I don't want to downplay him too much. He just doesn't have the leg for the long ones. That's all.
Yeah, we're just
you're a little
really
nervous every time he kicks.
How about the Packers Crosby hitting the crossbar on that one?
Oh, that was
the
difference.
I mean, the first two field goals that were like 48 and 49 about or whatever, like those barely went over. I was shocked they were kicking it from 53. But I mean, he did make it from 56 last week, and that one also hit the crossbar, but it went over. This time hit the crossbar, went in front.
Inch longer, and this one would have gone over.
Yeah. But I mean, there was some big plays in this game that did not go the Lions' way. For instance, the pick from Kirby Joseph inside Packers territory, hands to the face.
The first one.
This is the killer. I had Jameson Williams' first touchdown in this one. A perfect pass from Goff between two defenders on the on the third and one flea flicker, and he zooms around everybody for a touchdown. He shows off that you know late finishing speed that he's known for. And then we get a holding call in the middle. It's like, oh, man, come on.
Oh, boy.
That's
killer.
The refs have got it in for the Packers. They want the Packers in the playoffs or ratings or whatever.
But, hey, in the past, the Lions have folded in those moments, and they continue to just eat away.
You're right.
It's the brand new Lions, the BNL, they're calling them.
How about BNL? They want the refs wanted them to win, but also I think Chris Collinsworth really wanted the Packers to win.
He was praising
the hell out of him. And when they have an incomplete pass, he'd be like, oh my God, did you see that throw though? He didn't catch it, but I'm like,
come on. That's all he could talk about. At the end of the game, they're just focused on Rodgers.
Yeah. I didn't know it was much of an issue with Collinsworth.
You know, there might be kids listening here, but I want to say Chris Collinsworth was liked Aaron Rodgers like a lot.
Yeah, it was a little over the top, especially when it was a close fight game and they're just stroking him off. You know, it was.
Yeah. Just because you say here's a guy doesn't mean you're smart.
What do you think of Goff in this game? Did you like
Goff is not my favorite version of Goff. I'm not going to lie.
He's got to take those gloves off. It's clearly affecting his throws.
A lot of underthrows. But he did rise to the occasion in the moments, though. And
he protected the ball. Checked the ball again on a big stage.
That?
Big game.
He did fumble it, but he fell right on it and he got it.
That throw to Khalif Raymond was studly, though. That long pass, which I thought was a touchdown, by the way. I don't know why they didn't even challenge that, but looked like a touchdown to me. But
I did too, but they didn't.
It did look like a touchdown, too.
They didn't seem to care.
But the Lions are like, if we get it at the one, we're scoring. It's automatic this year, no matter what.
Yeah.
And that was
as a Michigan fan, it's not always automatic when you get when they got it at the water.
That's very true. I know. But I mean, they mentioned it throughout the broadcast. It was very apparent in the first game and in this game too. The red zone defense and offense for the Lions versus the Packers was the difference maker in the two games. Both times we have played this team, the Lions have pretty much shut down the Packers in the red zone, and the Lions have done the opposite. They're the second highest scoring team in the red zone this year, and you'd think that would equate to a playoff run, but alas, because usually the red
zone of a hole
equates. Yeah, it's just our defense got off to such a bad start this year. I mean, you look at that Seattle team today, it's like, how do we lose to the Seattle? How do we give up 45 points to this Seattle offense and Geno Smith? Right. Everybody sing up Geno Smith's praises. I don't think
Geno Smith sucked.
He had a good like 6 week run, but he went back to his old ways. And like little hissy fits on the sideline, and
they're going to get steamrolled by the 49ers. Oh, that game will not be close.
Right,
It'd be so much better for the playoffs for these Lions to be there. They'd put up.
Hey, well, I'll tell you
play.
What. The rest America's of the NFL team. Is happy the Lions aren't in the playoffs right now. I don't think anyone would want to play the Lions right now. I'm serious. I don't think anybody would want to play them right now.
Yeah, I don't even think not even the top seeds would want to play us.
It's, no, seriously.
That's frustrating. Big bummer.
Limbo's supposed to be a scary place to play, right? And the final game with Aaron Rodgers, and they didn't seem scared at all. They just played their game.
No, so. No, it was getting a little scary for me just because every throw for Goff for a while there was like going like a yard short or people's ankles and stuff like that. But he got better in the second half, so I don't know if he like put on a new pair of gloves in the second half or whatever. Charlie said, Jared, two gloves has got to go. Well, I mean, the two gloves work in the second half, so it wasn't all.
Not all games are pretty and perfect, but Goff played a solid game, okay? And I just got to give him credit. He was solid, okay? He made big throws when we needed him, made a couple huge plays when we needed him, and we won the game. And he didn't give up the ball. Aaron Rodgers gave up the ball. You know, Goff didn't.
And say what you want about the announcing, Bob, but they were giving a lot of love to the Lions offensive line throughout the broadcast. I thought they were
that's like low hanging fruit. One of the best lines in the league. Come on.
It was nice for them to talk about it.
He definitely like Wikipedia'd the Lions before the game and was like, oh, I guess their O-line is okay. Let's make six points about that.
Though. I mean, that's a big reason why Jared Goff has been so successful, because the offensive line keeps a clean pocket for him.
Yeah.
True. But these announcers, they're going to have to relearn their game, because they're used to going in there just assuming the Lions just suck all the time. And now all of a sudden their Lions are getting good, and the announcers don't know what to do. They don't know what to talk about. They're going to have to start studying again. And relearning their game, okay? Because it's a different Lions, okay?
Right. Did you see the pregame? Everybody except Tony Dungy picked the Lions to lose, and Tony Dungy called it. But that's the whole
thing. Shout out Tony Dungy.
They had like
America picked the Lions.
Oh, he's coming back. You know, it's Rodgers. They got from 4-8, and now he's going to go to the playoffs. You know, that was the whole narrative that ESPN and everybody was pushing. And Lions are like, screw that.
Yeah, Tony Dungy, man.
I love it so much.
That was fantastic. It was Tony Dungy, and actually America picked the Lions to win that game.
America?
55% of voters picked him.
America!
America, baby.
Yep.
Love America.
A guy that we talked about again, he fell three receptions shy of a $250,000 bonus, unfortunately, that Khalif we mentioned Raymond. In the last podcast. But Khalif Raymond had a fantastic game in this one. He really stepped up big.
He did.
Jameson Williams, he dropped one in this game, unfortunately. He was only targeted twice, and one time went back for a penalty.
Hey, comment on Jameson Williams, though. He needs to catch with his hands more. He seems to be a body catcher.
I think a fully healthy offseason will do him a lot of good this offseason, especially if we can keep offensive coordinator Ben Johnson, who I am worried might get hired away. Please. He's already on the short list for the Texans, who have just fired Lovie Smith tonight.
The Texans just blew the number
Texans
one pick.
The Texans already fired Lovie Smith, and according to reports, Ben Johnson's already on their like short list of immediate people they want to interview ASAP. So that is a concern. But if I'm Ben Johnson, I don't know if I want to go to the Texans. They have the last two head coaches they have hired have been fired within a year. So I don't think that's a very functional organization. Yeah. I want him to stay with the Lions just one more year, win the Super Bowl, and then go get the dream
one more
job,
year,
wherever that may be.
One more year. Come on, Ben.
I know.
Come on, Ben.
I mean, that
there's
that
only 32 of those jobs, though. They're tempting.
But let's do a GoFundMe to raise money for Ben Johnson to keep him with the Lions for one more year. We'll do a GoFundMe. And I'll bet you we'll make millions on this thing. I'm telling you, the fans will all pitch in 10, 20 bucks. We'll raise like $10 million to keep him in Detroit for one more year. Come on, people. Let's do it.
That's a better cause than Patricia's golf cart that you were trying to buy before. But
well, you know.
Bob, can you officially say that? Can you officially say on this podcast, now that we're at the end of the season, that Ben Johnson has overtaken Jim Bob Cooter on your all-time offensive coordinator ranking?
I didn't think it was possible, but I think he has. I think he has.
Oh, you know. Wow.
Wow.
Having said that, I would love to see Jim Bob with this kind of running game and this kind of a line and those receivers, you know.
Oh, shut up.
Who knows?
Oh, get out of here.
Shut up. Just shut
this
up.
This kind of running game. Did he read a new book this offseason?
Yeah, we had 4,000 yards passing, 2,000 yards rushing or whatever. You know, that's rare stuff. Anyway.
But the offense, they did just enough in this game to get the victory. Again, the no turnovers thing was absolutely massive. The Green Bay with a key fumble inside the red zone and the Aaron Rodgers interception at the end sealed the deal. That's really what separated it apart.
Hey, how about that fumble, though? Alim McNeil was awesome on that fumble. How he just tried to knock the Packers guy away from the ball and kept the ball in play. So Will Harris could pick it up.
It was
like a really smart play by Alim McNeil. He deserves credit for that. That was really smart play by him.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was another one where the announcers were really hoping there was a foot in out of bounds or something. You know, they were looking for anything. It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And we're
streaming this on YouTube live right after the game. But if you're listening on the podcast as well, Rud Dog has just jumped on to the podcast.
Rud Dog!
Let's go, Lions, baby!
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man.
And, you know, just while we're sticking with the offense really quick, DeAndre Swift had one of his better games, despite that one weird run where he just bounced it backwards outside. I didn't understand what he was thinking of that one. But other than that, he was huge in the receiving game. 7 catches for 61 yards. I don't know if he's going to be back or whatever next year, but it was at least a good send off.
He's a strange guy because he could be like a dominating player, but even just as we're using him now, he's really kind of a weirdly effective in a limited role. I don't know, it's hard to describe, but he does big things. You know, I don't want to try to say here, but, he is strangely effective, even with in the limited capacity, because he's so talented.
Yeah,
things he can do.
Yeah, but, he's dangerous.
But he's not a bell cow, though. I don't know if he ever will be.
No, I don't think he will. His body can't handle being a bell cow.
And I was worried earlier in the game. He got like double crunched, and his leg was all rolled up. And I was thought, oh shit, he's gonna get another big play.
In early mock drafts, I've seen us going like after Bijan Robinson and like with like the middle of the first round. I would hate that. He's pretty good. If you watch the guy, you might change your mind.
I'm not 100% against
it. I think he's great, but first round. That's the problem.
There's plenty of time to talk about the draft.
Yeah.
Fool's gold, though. It's like that elite playmaker for your offense. It's so tempting.
What we are going to do in the draft is find some diamond in the rough in the sixth round who's going to like lead the league in sacks next year. That's the Brad Holmes way.
Well, Houston kind of like shat the bed today a little bit when
he
jumped off
it.
Sides. Only thing you got to do on that play is not jump off sides.
I know.
What does he do?
It's the old Aaron Rodgers. He's done it for years. That was like the oldest trick in the book.
Everyone knew he was trying to do it, and he still got it. Yeah.
I know.
A guy I really want to come back next year, now, and I want to flip this to the other side of the ball for defense, but John Kaminsky, just a super underrated guy, always seems to find himself in the right spot, usually not out of position too much. At the very least, a great rotational. There's a reason eight or seven other teams this offseason tried to claim him on waivers, but luckily the Lions had a bad record and were early and high up on the waiver wire and were able to get him first rights to him.
Very lucky.
Kowalski's awesome. Imagine when he gets his hand back, you know, and he's not carrying just a club around with him, you know.
He did it on purpose.
And stuff like that.
UJ, you didn't hear? He prolonged that state. He found it that he liked it, having a club.
What?
Yeah, he actually, so he hurt his thumb and then he had to actually do that and got used to it. or whatever. He hurt his hand in area, and he then got the club to cope with it, and then he just got used to it, and so now he just keeps doing it.
Really? I didn't hear that.
It'd be tough to pick up a fumble with that thing, but
yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
You're right, Z, though. He is a keeper, man. That guy's good. Good
I have player. A question. Do we think Alex Anzalone will be back next year?
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think so, but I do think they need to go for a stud linebacker in this draft.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of with you on that, Connor. But I do think Anzalone is worth keeping at the right price. I mean, he had a good year this year, I think.
Alex Anzalone of the second half of the season, I would keep. The Alex Anzalone from the first half of the season, I would ditch in a heartbeat.
Like, well, look at a lot of that defense. Say that, right? Players.
Well, yeah, right. Half the team.
And a lot of that, you know, had also defensive line. Like, Michael Brockers was playing early on the season. It's not a coincidence, in my opinion, that we started playing much better on defense when Michael Brockers was sitting at home watching the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Will Harris is gone, though, after this year. I don't know if he's...
I wouldn't be surprised if Okuda's gone.
Okuda, Amani, our whole...
Amani
will probably not be on this team next year.
He comes right in and gives up a bomb immediately.
I know.
Yeah.
Hutch
was
held
badly on that play. They missed... I don't know if you saw that.
We need two new cornerbacks, I think. Whether draft or free agency, that needs to be a priority to get a really good.
We work out a trade for Jalen Ramsey, maybe.
I think going for one true starter. I don't know if we need two. I think Jerry Jacobs has earned himself at least a two spot.
You need as many guys as he can.
What?
I think Jerry Jacobs can play the two.
Yeah,
but definitely we need a one. Saying. We do not have a one right now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They need an elite option, and even if they don't get a two, they need depth.
Because
I don't know, I'm starting to have doubts about Okuda. You know, they seem to have doubts about him too in the front office.
I'm not ready to give up on him. He needed to pull his head out of his
ass. I'm not giving up on him either. I always love the pick.
I never love the pick, but I'm not ready to give up on the player either. He shows a lot of potential. I think he just needs to figure a few things out.
You only get so much time in this league though to figure it out.
Yeah, but true. I think he'll get another season.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Hey, did we mention it on the air that that guy, the Packers guy who pushed our trainer? I don't know if we did that before.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Quay Walker.
Quay Walker.
Yeah, Quay Walker. I'm like, what a stupid play.
What an idiot.
Like,
yeah.
He shoved him in the back.
And then the other Packers player came in like he was going to help beat this guy up.
Shoulder bumped him. Like he kind of
like,
what are you guys thinking?
We're playing a game how to show that we don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
I know. I love it. It's like we got in their heads, man. For your change.
That did
it's
feel
nice.
Like a game changing moment to me. But like after that, I was like, wow, like the Packers do not have a hold of this game.
They lost their cool. How about Quay Walker walking down the tunnel, man?
They crying
and shit.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. I was laughing.
Absolutely hilarious.
We beat Aaron Rodgers when he was playing for something. This is such a beautiful day.
The rumors have already started that Rodgers is out. I guess J-Mo asked for his jersey, and he's like, I'm keeping this one. So now the rumors are that he's out.
They were shredding him on the Sunday night broadcast after, like, this isn't the same Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't have the magic. He can't do
After praising him the whole game.
Yeah, the game was a completely different story.
Can't do it with Mahomes and Allen do anymore. He's just not that guy. How long? Oh, my God. I was like, damn.
Well, when you face the Lions, you're not going to have a good game. It's just the way that goes, you know?
And the Lions look just like the incumbents ready to just set the world on fire next year.
Hey, what do you call the Lions now? The new something Lions?
The brand new Lions is what they
call
it. BNL.
Yeah.
BNL. No more. Dan Campbell said, I don't want to hear that anymore. Same old Lions. So
it's the brand new Lions?
So now they're the brand new Lions.
All right. Baby. I like it. Yeah.
Especially when we
I like the brand new Coke.
They were the Lions, the gray, but now they're the Detroit Lions, the white. So
yeah, I'll tell you what, it's gonna be a fascinating offseason to see who they keep and who they don't.
Good one.
You
Connor.
Know, they're gonna have to make some tough decisions this year.
Yeah.
But like you said, Z, Chark is you gotta think seriously about keeping him another year.
I hope they do.
Jamal Williams, man,
You have to keep Jamal Williams.
You have to.
His post-game press conference was amazing, where he's talking about how Detroit needs to get respect and how people need to start noticing us.
Amazing.
If it was a choice of Jamal over Swift, you had to make one move on from one of them, who do you move on from?
I don't want to answer that.
I don't know.
Toughy.
All to Jamal Williams.
The thing is, we don't have to necessarily do that. So
true.
I'm not saying though.
I'm going to plead the fifth on your question, but it is a good question.
No one's got an answer there.
If you asked me that before the season, I'd say Swift. But now, if you ask me this time, I would. You know, Jamal Williams is 27. I'm going to go Jamal Williams on that answer.
Swift did look nice tonight. I thought Swift looked really good tonight.
Yeah, Swift is a weapon that can just change games. But like.
It's just the injury thing.
The guy who just is rock steady. He's always there, and he doesn't exactly have no upside. He can rip one off too. Like he's not as consistently dangerous as Swift, but like it's hard to like put Swift up against him because Swift just hasn't.
It's good to have the 1-2 punch though.
I love it. I don't.
It's not a one back league anymore. You know.
I love it. It's a great combo. So if we can move forward with Swift staying this new version of Swift where he is healthy and consistent, like. Oh my God. I think it'll be a great combo if we can be better than Chubb and what's his face over there at the Browns?
Kareem Hunt.
Oh, and
yeah, they got smoked today. Those ones. Screw those guys. It's a Lions hair right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Browns are dead. Deshaun's washed. This is the Lions' time now.
This is the Lions' time.
Like you said to the Goonies, it's our time. Our time here.
It's our time down here. It's their time. Their time up there.
Does anyone else get the sense that, like, you know, the playoff teams were all like looking down at us as we were like watching the ship leave and like, thank God that.
Oh, I mean, the 49ers must be so happy that they're playing the Seahawks as opposed to us or the Packers.
No kidding.
They wouldn't have cared about the Packers, but yeah.
That's true. They do match up well with the Packers, but I bet they're relieved they're not playing us. Like, I genuinely believe that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I agree. I don't think anyone wants to play us right now.
I mean, they're playing a division opponent for the third time. That's always kind of tough.
Yeah. It's the Seahawks. They are going to win.
It's Geno Smith and the Seahawks. Come on.
They're going to win that game by 4 scores.
Hey, did,
it just sucks.
Go
ahead, Red Dog. Go ahead.
I did Hutch lockdown rookie of the year tonight because I think he did.
No, unfortunately, Sauce Gardner is going to win that.
I think he might have made it a leapfrog.
I don't think it's a gimme.
He made a strong case.
On a show on national television. Yeah. And I think, how many sacks did he get tonight? At least two.
Hey,
right?
I think he should win, but I don't think he will win. At least according to Vegas odds. Sauce Gardner is like a heavy favorite. So
why? Because their market? Is that it?
Because he's not the Lions. That's why.
No. Sauce Gardner did have a really good
Sauce Gardner
season.
Had a great year.
He did.
So
he did.
Yeah.
He did.
He was a menace for teams all year.
You used Vegas odds on your Oscar picks, and they fell apart on you, so I wouldn't go by that.
He's way ahead.
Hey, but the Jets totally laid an egg the second half of the season. They started out so hot, and all this hot young
do you think,
and they were poorly
ahead of the
coached,
Lions
by
in
the
their,
way.
Do you think James Houston, like, hurt his odds a little, like, coming in and just getting sack after sack? Like,
yeah.
What do you mean?
Like,
what? Odds, a lot of that fed off of what Hutch was doing.
Hutch's
so
odds.
I don't know.
Do you think that had anything to do with it? So. I'm not saying they did. I'm just asking the question.
No,
it shouldn't. I mean, technically, because like anytime defensive linemen are thriving, it's usually partly because people around them are doing well anyway. So, like,
yeah,
I think he was as part of like Hutch was a big reason why I think Houston. Though you can't deny Houston just got that thing, but like he made some of his sacks happen too, just by being disruptive.
I think he's still got a learning curve, though. Rodgers took advantage of Houston's aggressiveness a couple times tonight on a couple plays where Houston was like they planned it out where Houston, they let him rush in real fast. And then all of a sudden, Rodgers just dumps one in the back and guy's wide open. They took advantage a couple times against him today. So there's a little learning curve for him. I know he started out hot and I think he's going to have a great future, but. He's not all there yet, okay? He's still a rook.
Yeah.
Yeah, UJ, on that, I think when you look at Hutch, I think early in the season, his over-aggressiveness got him in trouble a few times where he didn't overrun the play or whatever. Now he's, like, dropping back into coverage. He's playing smart. He's containing guys. It's not letting them flying by him.
Agreed.
So He's been improving.
His athleticism is just weirdly off the chart. Weird. Because he's so lanky and tall. And like Jillian was my daughter, he's describing like a big Great Dane puppy or something like that. The way he moves and stuff. And he I don't know. He's so athletic for such a big long guy. It's almost weird watching him sometimes.
I know. We're building a team of those guys. Like Penei Sewell on the other side, when you see in that block on that freaky flip play where he comes and shooting out there, man. What athleticism just to get over there. It's amazing.
Oh, I know.
I wanted to bring up that play too. What a hell of a play. Cool. What a fun play call on second and forever.
Is that called a
second
and
17 or something
right?
like that, right?
Right.
We had like 17 yards.
What do you call it?
I had a feeling we'd see a crazy play.
It's not a hook and ladder because a hook is
a screen and ladder. A screen and ladder.
Screen and ladder, yeah.
It probably is a screen and ladder.
Bubble ladder.
Maybe not. We didn't see that play all year. That was the first time we saw that play.
Yeah,
like,
no.
He pulled a new one out of the bag game.
And this is what makes it so fun. And again, I don't know if this comes like from Dan Campbell, if it's all Ben Johnson. I don't know who it is exactly. I think it's a combination of the two of them to a degree. Like you saw like on that last play, like they're both huddling and they're discussing.
That's what I've always read.
Yeah.
Is that like it wasn't just Ben Johnson that came up with this offense. Like him and Dan like worked on this together.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I agree.
It's their brainchild, not just Ben Johnson.
But the thing about this offense that's so fun is like it's just so unpredictable. Like the defense doesn't know, there's no consistency in a good way. Like it's very unpredictable. I mean, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys catch the ball tonight. Three others that were targeted and didn't catch it, like Jameson, for instance. But that's every game. And this is very much similar to like the box scores and the stats that you see from the Saints in their heyday too, which is where Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson learned underneath Sean Payton how to run an offense.
Yeah, Z, I think you hit the nail on the head right there, man. Unpredictable. This offense is totally unpredictable, and no one knows what to expect from us. You hit it right on the head, man. That was a good one.
I said it out loud during that 4th-and-1. Like, what are we gonna run? What is Ben gonna come up with? Like.
So much fun. It's so much fun as a Lions fan to watch and just a football fan in general, the way that they're operating their offense.
And you know what? Like, this is what I see. Like, I see YouTube channels just like coming up all of a sudden covering Lions just because they're like, they're just such a fun team to talk about. Mm-hmm. Like, they're unique. We're so multiple in our, like, what we can do. We are a truly balanced team on both sides of the ball, really, when you look at it. Like, sure, we could use some depth and maybe a player here on defense, but like we have the tools to hit you in every way, like in anything we want. We can run a 4-3, a 3-4. We can beat you on the ground, beat you through the air. Like this whole team across the board is so versatile and talented. Like,
hey guys, I want to ask you about a play go ahead. I was gonna say in this game, I just want to ask you guys about one quick play. Amon-Ra St. Brown incomplete pass. Do you think he might have caught that? Where he
caught it
with his butt.
That was bullshit.
And then I was like,
no catch.
He did.
But then I was worried it might be an interception too because he kind of rolled over and the guy was there. But I mean, it would have been a catch. But I thought it was actually a catch. No, they called it incomplete. Lions didn't complain about it.
Yeah,
it was just. I think they got first down. Explain. But
how about the greatest catch in the history of football though? Who was it caught that one between the legs and that it was. Was that St. Brown?
Yeah, it was Amon-Ra.
It was St. Brown, yeah.
I thought that was a catch.
Bob, that was ruled a catch.
Yeah.
That was a ruled catch?
Yeah,
no, I thought you were talking about the one earlier where they challenged it and they reversed the catch.
No, he was talking about the one you're talking about, UJ. Where
the one that bumbled between his legs and he rolled over? That one was a catch.
That was a catch.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So they originally said no.
So they agreed with you.
There you go. Yeah.
Talk about like how you got to kind of question what good things you saw in this game were a play. Because like J-Mo's touchdown, all these, how much got left on the field in this game? Because it just felt like this offense, like every time they did something good, was shooting themselves in the foot or just was, doing something offset it, whether it was a penalty, whether it was the actual penalty, phantom penalty. I don't know. There's always seemed to be a reason these things kept coming up.
Yeah, you guys are saying that. I didn't think they were killing themselves all night. I thought that was a kind of a back and forth game. But they were both teams made mistakes.
Not all night.
I mean, I don't know.
But they did hurt themselves.
We made so many good things happen that we for once overcame like all the adversity in this game. Because like we play half of that game that like we do in the past. I feel like a lot of mistakes and penalties that happen, we don't recover against the Packers, and we lose that game. But this team is just too confident, too good, too talented.
If you want to see really, really bad officiating, go watch the second half of the Rams Seahawks game. There were some horrible calls all going against the Rams, and I felt like it was also going against
the
Lions.
We should do a separate pod on that.
I think they didn't want us in the playoff, man.
The roughing the kicker call was the worst call in the history of
football. But they would go to the rule expert, Dean Blandino, and he'd be saying, like, nope, that was wrong. That was wrong. That was wrong. He'd basically saying, like, these refs are, like, doing a horrible job.
Are these guys accountable for their calls if they
it doesn't seem like it.
Calls. Was on,
it doesn't
man.
Seem like
no,
there's any
they're never accountable.
Think about it. What's the one motivation that makes the most sense? Who has the most to be, stopped? It was they wanted the Lions to not be able to make the playoffs. So, the league spoke and we were
Detroit
cut off.
Detroit versus everybody, right?
It's fixed.
Yeah, it was the fix, man. It wasn't against the, Rams. It was against us.
Yeah. It was a great way to finish the season, though, these guys.
Oh, my God.
It was. It was a terrific way to
totally
finish.
Totally was.
A season to be proud of. Like, I'm proud of this season. It was awesome.
I am, too. I'm very proud
of
this season.
A lot of congratulatory texts, especially because we know a lot of people that are fans of teams in the division, and they all hate the Packers as much as we do, if not more in some cases.
Yeah.
So everybody is happy to see the Packers lose, besides my wife, who's a Packers fan and family.
I think we saw changing the guard today a little bit. I know the Vikings won the division going away and all that shit, but I just, for some reason, don't look at them as the future of this division. I think I look at us as more of the future of this division. And I think this, what we saw was kind of the changing the guard today. And I think Aaron Rodgers is done. And I think we're just starting, man. I mean, I think we are.
I actually hope
beginning.
Aaron Rodgers comes back next year. I want to see him back next year again at this point.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Sure, why not?
Whatever they do.
Doesn't matter to me either way. I don't care.
Yeah.
We don't fear him. It's not like we're the Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Justin Fields is going to, beat us with his crutches next year. Great.
Well, that's what I want to bring up. Just a couple other notes in the league is that the Texans pulled off 2 4th-and-10s and a 4th-and-20 on their final drive of the game in order to pull off and a 2-point conversion to beat the Colts at the end of the game today. And by virtue of that win and the Bears lost, the Bears moved up to the number one pick overall in the draft. Just a wild, wild way to get the number one pick overall.
That's why Lovey got fired.
Probably. They're probably like, what are you doing? You're doing everything.
What the fuck
you
winning for? You asshole.
Absolutely. Like they could easily just threw it out of bounds and said, all right, we take number one pick. Nope. They did everything possible they could to make sure they're not getting the number one overall pick.
Wait, so that you're not joking. The Bears are now the first pick overall.
Yeah,
Bears
number one
overall.
Number one overall pick, most cap in the league. And, they're gonna have an interesting offseason.
Yeah, they are.
And all the Bears fans want them to trade that pick for a lot of draft capital because they need a lot of help on that team.
Maybe we get the number six pick, baby. We're number six.
You know what? Everyone sees the capital, and I just see the bottom dwelling. It's nice to see,
The Bears have a lot of draft. Have a lot of
up at the top of the draft.
The Bears have a lot of cap space at not a great time because the free agency class is okay. It's not like it's been in other past years. And you have to spend a certain amount in the NFL.
I mean that's not a bad thing. They're gonna add some talent if they do. They're smart. They got some resources. I just don't care. They got number one overall, the worst team in the league.
Screw the Bears. Let's one more cap about this game. My daughter, she bet her friend. He has to put on Instagram now a picture of Goff and then the GMAC Keshong Lions one again. He's a big Packers fan, so he has to run that for a day. So give hell to your
fantastic
Packers friends
little
tomorrow.
G.
Yeah,
yeah, little G. Yeah. One of our Lady Lions.
Yes, that's
baby.
That's incredible. I'll remember that one for the future for my other Packers friends as well. All right, we can wrap it up here. We'll be back later this week, I believe, at some point to give out our grades for the season. Always one of our top podcasts of the year.
I'm guessing I missed Kirby Joseph talk then, because
we did talk about
yes.
Kirby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
No.
Darn. And we'll talk about him more. We'll talk about him more going into the future. We just want to get this one out tonight.
You can listen to Apple Podcasts. You can hear about it.
I mean, this is the biggest Lions game we've had in many years. So
yeah.
Unfortunately, it did, you know, it didn't count towards their Super Bowl victory, but that'll go to next year. You know, they'll build off this. It's all part of the plan.
Yep.
It's all part of the mission.
Yep.
Trajectory is right.
Just in case you are wondering about what the NFL scheduled for playoff games, it's really quick. Seahawks 49ers on Saturday at 3:30. Chargers are at Jaguars at 7:15. Then Sunday there's three games. Dolphins at Bills at noon. Giants at Vikings at 3:30. Ravens at Bengals is the Sunday night game at 7:00. And then Monday night, they have Cowboys and Buccaneers. So I just want to throw that out there really quick for our listeners if they were curious. And then the two byes were the Chiefs. And if the Chiefs and Bills play each other in the playoff in the AFC Championship, they have to play at a neutral site, which is really bizarre. That'll be an NFL first. And then the Eagles are the number one seed in the NFC. And man, all those NFC teams I listed, the Lions could beat any one of them.
Yep.
And it just absolutely sucks. Totally. The Lions are a top five NFC team, if not top four.
Yeah.
And they will be sitting at home watching it all.
I want to throw in a little comment too, Z. If they play a neutral site, Detroit will not be considered a neutral site because they're replacing their turf on their field. And apparently they're one of six teams this league had that turf that's the non-desirable type of turf. Mm-hmm. And the Lions proactively decided to get rid of it and replace it this year because they knew they weren't going to be in the playoffs. So they, I just thought I'd bring that up. It's kind of important. I think the players think it's important. And the way the Lions are going now, I think they're really a player-oriented team. And I think that's what's going to attract some free agents to us now. And it's just the way they're going about their business. And I think it's kind of important. It's not a huge thing, but it's one of those things that I think players will deem important and could be a factor in their decision to come in here, you know. Anyway, I just had to bring that up.
Sure. I hope it doesn't affect their offensive performance at home because they were lights out at home this year offensively. I think averaging like 34 points a game or something like that. Something
ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the players were complaining about it, so it'll be good for them.
But, you know, good on the Lions for investing right away in fixing that problem. So, some other teams in the league are not as quick to do so. Also, big shout out for like we'll get into this in our grades podcast, but they showed Sheila at the game today. I think what they did this year with the ownership and stuff, we all agree it's trending in the right direction. She's pretty much stepped aside largely and let the football people do their thing, but the right football people like Chris Spielman and stuff like that lead the charge. And it's from the very top, it's player run. So
hey, let's give Sheila a shout out. I mean, what the hell?
She deserves it.
She allowed this to happen, you know. And the ownership has been, crapped upon for years and years, with rightfully so, the way William Clay Ford ran it and all that. But she took a different approach this year, and it's really made a difference. So shout out to her too. You know,
incredibly
got to give props where they're due, right? So I want to give Sheila some props too.
Absolutely. But let's wrap up the podcast here tonight, and we'll be back later this week giving out our
I don't want to wrap it up. I want to keep talking.
I know. Well, you and I gotta
go
up on the phone and talk for another hour tonight. So
all right.
But anyways, so Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid. Follow us on there. We post a lot of, we've been doing a lot better lately, posting a lot more stuff. Follow us at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on Instagram, Twitter. At Drinking Lions. Always greatly appreciate that. Let us know your thoughts on the Lions season. Later in the week, we'll want to hear your grades. Thank you to SideLionReport.com for hosting the podcast. Always greatly appreciate them. But if you can't listen down there, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. Always greatly appreciate that. And thank you to our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we're all over the map there.
My goodness.
Thanks, Kid J.
Yes, yes, that's the point. Thank you, Kid J, our producer, Kid J. And
best in the biz.
Yes, the Lady Lions, all you Lions fans out there that have been drinking the Kool-Aid all season, we greatly appreciate it. As the regular season is over, NFL playoffs are starting now, and unfortunately, the Lions are not part of it, but they will be absolutely a part of it next year on their way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you get blue balled like that, you're going to be pissed off next year.
But look out for later this week when we drop our season grades podcast. We're grading all the position groups, the coaches, all the way up to ownership. It's always a really fun one. And that one usually wraps it up for the season for us. So be on the lookout for that. But other than that, I think we're ready to call it a night. Just a great victory. We're all going to sleep well tonight. One of the best sleeps we have in a while, probably. So, you know, just really just soak it all in. And that's all we can do anyways at this point. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Yes. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate it. And last but not least, as always, go.
And what?
What?
Z's really holding that pregnant.
And what?
I think you're saying,
and what?
Last but not least, and as always.
Wait, am I timed out?
Go.
Whoa. Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.